for the invitation to come. It's a great privilege to be able to speak to this group and fine-looking group this morning. If anybody brought a Bible and you want to turn, open to Exodus 3. We're going to speak from there. I was told you can do anything. You can testify, give your testimony, preach. My testimony is so old, I forgot most of it. And so I'm just going to do what comes easy for me. I'm going to preach. And so I'm just going to bring a message this morning out of Exodus chapter 3. There's a kid's book. I don't know if it's still around, but it was years ago, called Where's Waldo? How many of you know Where's Waldo? Everybody, pretty much. There's this one character, and you have to find him in amongst all these different crowds. So this message this morning, you are Waldo. Okay? You are Waldo, and I want you to see if you can find yourself in this message this morning. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock in the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountains of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near to this place, but take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And so, with that text as our launching pad, I want to begin by saying it's not enough to know information about the Bible. You have to be able to find a way to relate an eternal God to our lives. You can know everything there is to know about the Bible and not be right with God. And so the key is that we have to relate God to our lives. When Moses heard the words, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he hid his face because he couldn't relate to God at that point. He couldn't talk to God. He couldn't be close to God without being in fear and in shame. And, you know, I've discovered through the years that it can be hard for men to relate to a holy God. But unless we do, we're eternally lost. Unless we do relate to God and come to a place where we're comfortable in God's presence and we can talk to God about our needs and we can feel welcome in His presence, we are going to be eternally lost. I don't care how much Bible knowledge you have. And so I believe if we can grasp what is being said in this text, it will really help us. As a reference, Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, all say the same thing, at least including this phrase, the just shall live by faith. Now, I'm not sure what you would take about out of those verses or out of that thought, the just shall live by faith. But to me, it says there's hope. Because we can know God, we can experience His blessing in our lives, and we can make heaven our home if we'll have faith in Him and take Him at His word. And so I want you to locate yourself in this message. God spoke to Moses and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's talk about the God of Abraham. When the Bible tells us that God called Abraham, he told him to leave his home for a place that he would show him at a later time. And Abraham, who is called now the father of the faith, who was a giant of the faith, what's mind-boggling is Abraham does this. He does it. You know, think about it. God said, I want you to leave your home, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you. And so, you know, that wouldn't exactly be the easiest thing to do, to leave everything familiar and set out on a journey not knowing where you're going and not knowing what you're going to find when you get there, wherever there is.
It's one thing to say, well, I'm going to here to, you know, we send out workers, we send out pastors, we launch men into the harvest field. Men go to cities they've never seen. I've taken churches in cities I've never set foot in my life until I pulled in and I'm the pastor there. Men launch off into foreign fields, strange cultures, strange places. But at least they know where they're going when they leave home. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. God said, I'll show you when you get there. That takes some faith, man. That's going to take something in the way of some kind of trust, some kind of ability to relate to God. Abraham says, okay, God, let's do this thing. Where am I going? God says, well, just start moving and I'll let you know when you're there. And so, you know, this is a real step of faith on Abraham's part. Next thing God does is tell him to sacrifice his son. Abraham obeys again. He takes his son up on a mountaintop, prepares to do the deed, and God stops him and says, no, 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 this was a test. And these words come from God to Abraham. Now I know that you fear God. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. So here's Abraham, this giant of the faith. This man who believed God, he could so readily and easily relate to God, and God could speak to him, and he just obeyed God because he trusted, he knew God. He was comfortable in God's presence, so to speak. And he just did what God asked him to do. You know, I firmly believe one reason why many men struggle with faith because they don't want to do what God asks them to do. Plain and simple. We don't have a problem with the whole idea of faith in God and going to heaven. And we don't have a problem with that as men. But we do have a problem with God telling us what to do. And many men have that very problem. James chapter 2 verse 18 says, show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man who's in Christ is a new creature. The old passes away and all things become new. So the point here, the idea behind this, is that when you really begin to relate to God, when you begin to be able to talk to God and let God talk to you and you're going to respond, the old passes away. You know, it can be hard to relate to God when the same old rebellion that always controlled us in the world is still controlling us as believers. It can be very, very hard. When we're raised and we've got this kind of mindset, this attitude, I'm my own man, I do my own thing, nobody tells me what to do. It can be very, very hard if you try to bring that into the Christian life because God is going to tell us what to do. And we see this man Abraham with his obedient faith, genuine faith, always plays out in obedience to God's word. Genuine faith always plays out in obedience to God's word. And Abraham's obedient faith responded when God asked him to do hard things, when God asked him to do incredible things. Take your son up on the mountain and sacrifice him. You know, I'm surprised Abraham didn't start saying, no, this is a stinking cult. Wait a minute. I can't do this. Then he just obeyed God. Because, I come back to this, Abraham could relate to God. Abraham was in relationship with God. He could talk to God. God could talk to him. This was not a problem. And his faith was demonstrated by his obedience to God. His obedient faith paid rich dividends. He left his family. He obeyed with his son. But he became the father of many nations. He walked away from his past. But in doing that, he stepped into an eternal future with God's blessing and with God's provision. 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, all these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. In other words, it's telling us here that Abraham's life is more than a nice story. Abraham's life is an example for all generations of what relating to God really is. It's letting God speak to you. It's letting God direct you. It's letting God challenge you. It's letting God help you. I mean, I'll come back to this term because this is what many men have a problem with. Nobody tells me what to do. Well, God's going to, if you're going to walk with Him. And Abraham is a shining example of what faith that responds to God is all about. And the Bible says he's an example for all generations, especially this one, upon whom the end of the ages have come. So here's the God of Abraham. It's not surprising that Moses couldn't relate at that point to God still, because Moses wasn't quite an Abraham. But he also said, I'm the God of Isaac. Compared to Abraham, Isaac hardly appears to be a man of faith at all. God really only spoke to Abraham on a couple of occasions. He never gave him any great challenges to do any great things. He never spoke to Isaac to take any mighty leaps of faith. And yet Isaac's faith is demonstrated, and it is seen clearly in his determined and his faithful response to what God did ask of him. So what did God ask of Isaac? Genesis 26, verse 2, the Lord said, do not go down to Egypt, but sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. And so God said to Abraham, his father, I want you to leave, I want you to go, I want you to launch out, I want you to do all these great things. Abraham obeyed. He said to Isaac, I don't want you going anywhere, I want you to stay right here. And I'll bless you if you will. I'll bless you. And the Bible says Isaac believed that. He stood upon that. Abraham's faith meant going. Isaac's faith meant staying. And you know, there's multitudes of men with Isaac's calling on their life. For every one that's got Abraham's calling, there's hundreds that have Isaac's calling. Isaac's saying, Isaac, I don't want you charging off. I don't want you doing this. I want you to stay where you're at. Plant yourself where I want you to be, and I will bless you there. You know, this church is a great example of men who have discovered that reality and spent years and years of their life faithfully demonstrating their faith by responding to that challenge. Isaac did no great exploits for God. There were no giant leaps of faith. He just stayed where God wanted him, and he did what God asked him to do. You know, Isaac is basically a working man. In fact, in the text, he's a well digger. God said to him, I want you to stay here, and I want you to redig the wells that your father had dug. And the significance of that, you have to catch this, the significance of Isaac redigging the wells of his father was that Isaac had to have his own experience with God. That's why he had to redig the wells of his father. But here we see a perfect example of a man who was not the great giant of faith that his father Abraham was, but nonetheless a man of great faith, a man of determined faith, because he simply obeyed what God told him to do. And I can say to you this evening or this morning, as many of you know, God is well pleased with those who will just stay where he wants them to be and do what he asks them to do. Whether you're a goer or whether you're a stayer, it still takes faith in God to respond to that. And if you will respond to that, whether your calling is launching off or staying put, God will meet you there. God's plan for your life is where God will meet you. And God's plan for your brother's life, for your father's life, for somebody else you know's life, God's not going to meet you there. He met them there, but he's going to meet you in His plan for your life,
whatever that might entail.
One of the simplest yet the most profound truths that you and I can ever grasp and can live by is one of Pastor's famous old sayings. God's plan or God's will has an address. I've heard that most of my Christian life. It came from Pastor Mitchell. God's will has an address. In other words, if you're going to relate to God, if you're going to let God talk to you, and you're going to be able to talk to Him, and God's plan is where the blessing is. He's not going to bless you anywhere you go if that's not His plan for you. And so if you're going to relate to God, it's very critical that you are where He wants you to be. And you're doing what He wants you to do. And if you will do that, that's huge. That is huge. That is a fulfillment of God's purpose for your life. And I tell you, it takes faith to do that. It takes great faith. Because there's challenges in that. And there's struggles in that. And there's battles in that. But it takes huge faith to respond to God and do exactly what He tells you to do. 1 Samuel 30 gives us a biblical principle concerning what I'm talking about. But as his part that goes down to the battle, so shall his part be that stays by the stuff. They shall part alike. And so here we have the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jacob's another different character. Jacob never really was able to relate to God. Growing up, you know, the name Jacob means supplanter. We don't use that term today, but we could easily call him a hustler. We could call him a schemer. We could call him a conniver. These are all terms we recognize. A cheat. A liar. These are all terms that really do apply to the meaning of Jacob's life. This guy never really could relate to God in his early years. And it wasn't until he actually wrestled with God one night, wrestled with an angel, contended and wrestled with an angel. God visited this man personally. And he wrestled with an angel, and it wasn't until that took place that he began to be able to relate to God. Jacob the hustler. It seems like every time we read about God communicating with Jacob, it appears, or at least it seems, just from an overall glance of Jacob's life's experience in the Word of God, it seems like God's chastising. The first time God actually even speaks to Jacob, there's a conflict, and he's about to run from Laban's house. There's been a conflict that's arisen, and Jacob is ready to bolt, and God speaks to him. Every time after that, Jacob still seems to be on the run. And interestingly, often he's running from God. This guy's got issues. He's not Abraham. He's not even Isaac. Jacob, the hustler. Jacob, the schemer. Jacob, the conniver. Jacob, the man of conflict. You read about Jacob's life. He was in conflict with his father. He was in conflict with his brother. He was in conflict with his uncle. He was in conflict with his wives. He was in conflict with angels. And he was in conflict with the inhabitants of the land wherever he went. Jacob, the man of conflict. You know, the biggest problem when you read Jacob's life is that trouble seemed to find this guy no matter where he went. Trouble seemed to find him everywhere he went. And because of that, he'd wind up on the run again. Because of that, he wind up at times falling back into his own or his old kind of methods of dealing with things. Jacob the hustler.
and yet faithfully God would fight him. And God would heal him. And he would get back on track where he needed to be. He would come back and begin to align his life back into a place where he could relate to God again. And I can only say concerning Jacob's life, I personally thank God for second chances.
Amen.
And I'm sure many of you would say the same. So from this, God speaks to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From this we can see it's not really hard to relate to God. He calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, the father of the faith. Abraham, the giant of a man who's incredibly intense and obedient faith, his willingness to do anything God asked, that put him in a class all by himself. Giant of a man. Isaac, the faithful working man who stayed by the stuff, who traded the days, the weeks, the months, and the years of his life, keeping the wells flowing for his own generation. Not for his father's generation, but for his own generation. He traded and spent his life keeping those wells flowing so his generation could be blessed with the water. Jacob, the wild man. Didn't always get it right. Didn't always do right. But Jacob kept repenting, and he kept believing, and he kept trying. And you know, when you read Jacob's life, this guy was tremendously blessed in the end. Tremendously blessed. So this is the God that spoke to Moses from the bush. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You know what? He calls himself your God, too. I wonder if you can find yourself in this message this morning. I wonder if you can find your character, your issues, your faith in this message. I hope you can, because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is your God, mine, and also. I wonder if you got your head. I really don't know everybody here. I know many, probably most of the men, at least a recognition who you are. Some I have no clue who you are. But this morning, if you're here, maybe you were invited by a friend, maybe somebody encouraged you to come to this thing. And if you're here today, and you know, maybe you're having a tough time relating to God. Just the whole God thing has never been your thing. It's not that you're anti-God. It's not that you're an atheist. It's not that you, you know, have all this pent-up anger and bitterness. You just have never really been able to really relate to the God thing. But I want to tell you something this morning. God is here to meet with you. God is here to make himself real to you so that you can relate to him. But you see, it's not enough to just say, well, I understand the message of the Bible. I know. I believe in God. That's not enough. It's never enough. You have to be able to relate to God. You have to be able to talk to him, open your heart, share everything that's in your heart and all of your needs with him. And you have to be willing to let him talk to you, to listen to you, to direct your life, to lead you, to guide you. He is God. He is God, creator of all things. And all I'm trying to say this morning, my point in this message, it doesn't matter if you're a giant of the faith or if you're a wild man or anywhere in between. He is your God. Your greatest tragedy in all of life is to spend all of your your days on this earth and never come to the place where you can relate to Him. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning who would be willing to respond. See, I don't really know God that way, but I'd like to. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to become a religious freak. I'm simply asking you to open your heart to let God make Himself real to you. If that's you, would you lift your hand right now? Just put it up. Put it up right and see. Thank you. Thank you. Is there someone else? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. God wants to meet you this morning. He wants to meet you. He wants to help you. He wants to begin to relate to you in a very personal way. Anyone else, quickly, backslider, unsaved, you need to get your heart back to God. We're giving you a clear-cut opportunity to do that. Before we go any further, those of you that lifted your hand, would you just look up at me for just a moment? Did you really mean that, bro? Did you really mean that? Over here? Did you really mean that? There was a hand over here. Back here, bro. We're going to ask you to do something. I'd like you to stand right now. All of us are going to stand together. And I'd like to ask you to come forward here and let's look for you. That's what you need to do. You need to make it right with God this morning. I want some brothers that will come join with us. You need to make it right with God. God is your God. See, that's really the issue this morning. He is your God. Whether you know Him or not, He is your God. Created you. Made you. Put you on this earth. And the tragedy of life is that you can go through your entire life and never, ever really get to know Him. Always running from Him, never to Him. Take this opportunity. Maybe God's spoken to some of you. You are a Christian. You're a believer. God's spoken to you this morning in some way, challenging your heart. You feel a need, perhaps, to repent. You feel a need to pray. You feel a need to do something. We're going to just give you that opportunity as we sing a quick chorus. We magnify, O Lord.